All right, how's everybody doing? It is Thursday here in Chicago. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day outside. I cannot believe how incredible it is outside. Unfortunately, I was in an office all day, but every once in a while, I stepped outside to enjoy it. So welcome to Thursday. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, Chicago Music Revealed. You are watching episode 60. We have been starting, we started this show somewhere near the beginning of this pandemic, and we are keeping it going, and we keep having incredible guests. And today is no exception. We had a little bit of a Skype snafu. So unfortunately, Heather Ireland Robinson, the executive director of the Jazz Institute of Chicago. I knew I'd spit it out. I've got all these notes in front of me. There's so much stuff we're going to talk about today. And then Darius Hampton, I've got them both on. We are going to talk about this exciting Jazz Ahead, Straight Ahead Jazz Exchange. It's a virtual conference. They always did it as a conference when people could actually go and experience it live. But since you cannot go and experience a summer jazz camp live, they took it one step further. And this is going to be an incredible conference. It's all virtual, which means you can have it from the comfort of your home. You can get all this incredible jazz history, jazz experience, everything. I'm going to let them talk all about it. But guys, thank you so much to both of you for being on the show today. I apologize for the Skype interference, but we're going to make this work and we're going to get the information out well ahead so people can sign up and find out about this incredible conference you guys are putting on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so Mike, thank you so much for all you do to have been keeping music alive and keeping our faces out there. My voice will have to do for today, but I just want to say thank you for the Jazz Institute and for everything you're doing at Chicago Jazz Magazine.
I appreciate that. And you know, you and I and Adriana have had a couple of Zoom meetings here and there to try to figure out how we're going to navigate the jazz scene here since, you know, there's so many different things to navigate. The good news is, I heard from Andy's Jazz Club. They're opening up. They're going to try it out tomorrow night. They're going to start tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Charles Heath is playing tomorrow night with his trio. And then Dave Gemmell is kicking it out. He's going to be up there on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He's going to start it off with 40 people in the club, flipping it, doing every two sets. So live music is coming back to Chicago. And hats off to the Jazz Institute because you guys are navigating something that – nobody has ever navigated before. You have so much programming reliant upon being in Millennium Park, being in the different clubs, being in the different areas of Chicago, all the community jazz events that you do and all the educational stuff that you do. And to have this entire experience happen in the middle of the year with no warning, talk about putting your entire calendar into flux. But you guys are coming out of it. You are going to make the best of a bad situation by actually offering this Jazz Ahead, Straight Ahead. I don't know why I keep saying that. Straight Ahead Jazz Exchange. So you're taking your summer camp virtual. And now Darius has been helping out for many, many years on this. So we're going to talk to Darius in a second. But Heather, why don't you take the lead on this and tell everybody what this is going to entail? Because looking over the amount of people that are included on this, I mean, this is a jam-packed week of jazz information, history, and performance information.
Thank you. So we're going to kick off Monday, July 20th, and go through Friday, July 24th. And I'll just say, you know, when we first decided, not decided to, but first realized that we were going to have to go online, we thought, okay, maybe it should be a one-day camp. Okay, maybe we should just do 2 days. But we realized that we really wanted people what we were going to give them originally. And we wanted to honor the contract and musicians and presenters as we could. And I'll let Darius some of the details, but there was so much, you know, the word of the year is pivot. All of our Jazz City concerts, at least three or four of them that were supposed to happen in the spring, we just held hard to make videos. And we, you know, Precisio, what do you guys want to say? How do you want this? We put those out on our Facebook page and our email. Our education programs, where we would have had all these young, 20 at a time sometimes, ages 9 to 10, coming to the Jazz Showcase and working with the likes of Bobby Irving III and Gerard Hayes, who's on our book. And so they all created 30 to 60 minute videos where they were teaching the blues form, different progressions. And that was amazing. It's funny, we thought it was going to be just for the high school students. We had musicians responding to the video saying, oh man, I appreciate being able to hear Robert Irving, you know, seeing him play. So it's the silver lining in all of this. And we couldn't be more excited about some of the things we have going on summer, we'll tell you about. But yeah, straight ahead, we kept our Sean Jones, Tia Fuller, local voices like Dana Hall, people that'll be working, Victor Garcia, yep, who's going to be teaching the hows of the instrument. And those pieces are going to place in the morning. So unprecedented access to not just Chicago luminaries, but really some of the finest musicians, of course, in our wonderful city, but really in the world. And you'll get this close video that you can watch for up to 2 weeks after. Wow. So it's one thing to be in a classroom, like furiously taking notes. Okay, what did Victor say about the thing? I got to play. But then the fact that you can be at home, you know, late in the midnight hour, should you choose to really take the time to pause and listen. We just think that's an unseen blessing that has come out of all this, that people will have that access. So those are the mornings, and the afternoons are reserved for what we're calling a track for enthusiasts. So those jazz lovers like myself who don't play, mm-hmm, those are the historians who are just those avid fans will be able to hear from Neil Tesser talking about, you know, the power and the meaning of Chicago jazz. Marvin Sparks with an interview that he did and showing some film clips. Stan West. And so I really love that about this experience. And we called it a camp. Musicians know what that means, but the public kind of thinks, oh, you mean like a day camp? So we changed the name to the Straight Ahead Jazz Exchange. No, you can't drop Johnny off at 9 a.m. with a lunch on this one. But it is that cool experience for, you know, for musicians, for educators, for students of a certain level, and people who just love the music. And the morning is really a response that we got where a lot of our teachers and educators were saying, we really want a chance to play. We were going to have this whole combo series where you would be put in a combo and at the end of the week and play with that combo. That's something to just rethink and reimagine, be these 1 hour set, these one, I'm calling them one-on-one because they feel so personal, but just those really dedicated technique sessions.
Well, I'll tell you, and Heather, I mean, you laid it out to a point where, I mean, the amount of information people are going to get. You have a great point, and I'm sure Darius can talk directly to this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the way you laid the entire thing out, talked about how it's all day and people can actually, you know, recap this stuff for up to 2 weeks and be able to go mm-hmm. back and enjoy that. Now, Darius, you know, you're mm-hmm. working on all of this and you're used to doing the one that actually happened in person. So how different has this one been? Since it's not in person, but it's virtual, it seems like there's a lot of challenges, first off, just from a live stream, just from being able to present it correctly. But also, to Heather's point, I think this is something that is probably, I know you don't want me to say this, because during normal times, you probably would never have thought of doing this during normal times because of the undertaking it is to create a live stream. But this might be some concept to use moving forward, because the ability to be there on site, actually interacting with people, but then actually be able to touch base and review after you were there in person during normal times, that might be something. But in this case, it's pretty exciting because people are able to hear like Bobby Irving talk about piano, and then there's going to be so much information exchanged. It's good to be able to go back a couple of weeks and have mm-hmm. that to review. So what are your takes on this? I mean, talk a little bit about all of these incredible musicians too, Darius, because I mean, I'm looking at the lineup. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very different. just to start off with, we really had to go back to the drawing board as much as the time really allowed us to make sure it worked in a virtual format. You couldn't just slap the whole thing that we would normally do in person onto, you know, online. It's just, it just could be, get to be too long. There's no time for the interplay, time to eat, you know?
Right.
So we had to really imagine it from the perspective of the people that are coming to do this thing. But like you said, there's some opportunities involved, that we wouldn't have available to us, if we do it, the normal way, which is in person. Virtual now, anyone from anywhere in the country can come and be a part of it, anywhere in the world, I guess, if you want to spread it out even further. And there's such a great amount of talent, a lot of folks that are where they normally have to fly in because they'd be out of town, but out of town is no relevance right now. So, you know, we would have had Tia Fuller coming in and Sean Jones coming in, a great educator who's done this camp with us many times, Jose Diaz coming in, and Dana Hall, who's local. But he's so great, and he's actually has the perfect session that was already planned to be done. You know, his topic was going to be, you know, social justice and Black music before any of this stuff that, you know, this happened recently. But we, as everything started to unfold, it's like, man, we were on the money with this stuff, you know? So we're going to lead off with that, you know, as we started to go and shuffle things around because of the format changes, we had to make some things shorter. We moved some things around. We made some things pre-recorded, other things could be live, but, you know, we'll start some interplay via MC and being able to chat and ask questions to the artist live. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities involved, and we're really excited about it. But it's going to be a different experience for everyone involved.
So let's talk about before we get into all of the different sessions that we can talk about, because I want to talk about some specific ones for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the challenges of doing something like this? You know, Darius, why don't you take it first here? What are some of the challenges of doing something virtual like this? Because, you know, how many cameras are involved? Where are you shooting it? Where is this whole thing being presented? And all of the different logistics you never had to think about in order to present this kind of and plus it's music, which means the sound has to be as good as the video. Otherwise, it's not going to get, you know, passed
right
along, and people aren't going to understand certain things, or they're not going to hear the nuances. So what are some of the challenges that you guys have faced and some of the infrastructure you had to put in?
Well, first of all, we have to find a product company that has some experience with this, especially since we're doing on such short notice. You know, normally in March, we have everything set, basically. We should have all contacts done. Set up.
Yep.
We should be, you know, full-blown promotion mode and just, you know, selling it, basically, getting here. At that time, at the very time, everything starts to shut down. It's like, are we going to be able to do this? Well, first we had to figure out, are we going to be able to do this at all? And it's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, we should do this. I think people are going to want to do this, but we had to be very careful about it because we didn't know what the state was going to be about,
yep,
what people were going to be willing to do. And eventually we decided, we're just going to have to, we were weighing the options of whether or not we were going to do it virtual or if we were going to, like, just kind of change the, you know, make, you know, incorporate some distancing, but we couldn't really come good to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had to make the call at some point. Just like, we're going to go virtual with it. If we spent too much time with that, then we probably wouldn't have anything. But yeah, the next thing was there's a central for people who are local here. Some people are going to be able to go see it. Some are pre-recorded, and they'll be able to go ahead and do those. So those will have great studio quality. But others are, most of the live events, in fact, people are going to be doing from home because they're out of town, or
sure,
some things that just work better. I think there's one that's a panel discussion. It's got four people involved, and it just make more sense to probably do that, you know, remotely. So there's cameras all over the place. You know, people are going to be doing it from home. We're just going to have to go ahead and make the best of it. Have some little mini rehearsals, check their setup, make sure the lights look good and that they sound good. And some things they're going to send ahead of time, some videos or sound or slides or anything that they want to use, we'll send ahead and be able to run from the studio. But it's a lot of different challenges, but that's some of the ways that we're coping with it.
So Heather, talk a little bit about the different sessions that are going to be there. And is this something that, and you know, I know Darius talked about the back end and a lot of the artists that are going to be there. And the, you know, I didn't even think about this. I don't know why I didn't think about this, but I mean, this is really actually has a potential of really expanding the Jazz Institute's brand throughout the entire country, if not the entire world, because, you know, by offering this kind of thing, I don't know of that many camps online with this much instruction being virtual. I just don't know of that many that are happening this quickly after this whole thing started. So you know, hats off to the Jazz Institute, but I also think that you're going to be able to build your brand, you know, nationwide and worldwide a little bit, because you've got to be able to have people from all over the country be very interested in this camp now.
Right. It's something that, of course, right away, we didn't think of that part of it. It was more like Darius was talking about the mechanics of everything. Like, how are we going to do this? Oh, well, we don't have to fly. As much as I would love to see Tia and, you know, Sean in person, they're so dynamic and just such cool people. You know, we don't have to fly them in. And you're right. The access, the people that have signed up, half of the people that have signed up already are not from Chicago. And I may have that number wrong. It may be that none of our Chicagoans have signed up yet. They will. But it was exciting for us to see people from all over the country. And that is something we thought about, like, wait, this is an opportunity for even more people. And you also talk about other kinds of access. Somebody that may not, you know, maybe in a wheelchair or just isn't comfortable leaving their house or is physically demanding for them to leave their home, they're able to do this from the comfort of their home. And to us, that's a real blessing that there are more people that will be able to see this. As sad as it has been and heartbreaking in some ways for us not to all be there in person and to be able to see each other and be at Columbia. We love our partners at the music school, and I just adore that building right there on Michigan. Mm-hmm. There are so many positives that are coming out of this, and some things that we may be able to keep forever. You know, there are some parts of this that we'll be able to do forever. So that is really an exciting part. And I think everyone will find, you know, the content just so varied. You're going to walk away, whether you play an instrument or not, with such a deeper knowledge of the history of jazz. I mean, Tia's workshop, I think, could just be $100, something you would pay to see anyway. The history of women in jazz from the early 1900s to Beyonce. And for those of you that don't know, she toured with Beyonce and played on parts of her, Put a Ring on It. And so just an amazing woman who has played with so many different kinds of people. So to be able to hear from her and to connect the women that we admire today to the past. Stan West, who's a professor at Columbia College, has had the pleasure of interviewing Spike Lee, who we know jazz is such an integral part of a lot of his films because of his father and Terrence Blanchard and all the, not just the film about jazz he's made, but every film you see of him, that influence. And so to hear, to be kind of the man next to the man at Cleveland and talk to him, just, and they, if you're just, I stand walking down the street one day with a colleague and we walk for just two blocks and I was like, who is that guy? Like, I learned so much in that brief time. He's just a wonderful person who was just as excited as we are. So bringing these experiences, bringing people, you know, to you to hear their story, to share what they know. And Mary Pappich, who went to the Jazz Institute, is going to do rehearsal tips from top jazz educators. And she's actually decided to bring in a panel of other educators to join her. So rather than just Mary Jo, you'll be sitting there with five music educators that are telling you, hey, how can I really do this? You know, what's the best way to help my students? And even if you're not a teacher, there's so much to learn about the inner workings of jazz and the inner workings of jazz education, which is so important with our Jazz Links program. It's a fascinating learn. And again, you can be at home in your jammies with your beverage, the beverage of your choice, and, you know, taking notes. And like I said, going back, like, I can't tell you how many times I've been at an event. At home, it's easy to do. You can pause, record it with your phone. But somebody says something and you're furiously scrambling, you know, writing in your notebook or taking notes on your phone. What did she say? What was that quote that I want to use? Well, this gives you the opportunity to literally pause and go back and reflect on moments that you may want to see again.
Well, that's the biggest thing about being able to do this is because, you know, to your point, I mean, first of all, about the accessibility, really make it, I mean, not only if they're not in the city, but if they're, you know, if they're handicapped, if they have issues getting somewhere, you're solving that problem through this. So there's a definite silver lining to a pandemic here, and you're working your way right through it. But the other side of it is how many times, and Darius can probably chime right in on this too, since he's a young musician just out of college, a little close to being just out of college, and so he knows sitting in lectures and sitting and watching people perform, and you're hearing people talk about the craft and describe things and talk about jazz history or talk about certain points of playing, and there's so much to miss because there's so much information coming at you. But with this, you're able to go back and review. I can remember listening to some lectures that I had when I was in college. I would record them and I would listen to them for like 10, 15, 20, 30 times sometimes, because it was like I kept getting little nuggets, little nuggets, little nuggets. this is allowing people to actually experience this and really digest it, which I think is a wonderful thing. And also, you know, Joe, I mean, obviously we all know Mary Jo. She's awesome. She's incredible. She started the Gen, Jazz Educators Network. I knew
Network.
I said that correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, she's one of those experts in that field, and to have something like that, even if you're not a band director, but I know 99% of the musicians that watch and will consume this do private lessons. So they're going to get things out of this whole thing. But also for the parents that are sending their kids to school and going through a band program, they're going to get stuff out of it, even if they're a jazz enthusiast. So who do you think is the ideal person to take the straight ahead jazz exchange?
So we've got a few audiences, and we've designed the exchange to hit these audiences first, in no order of importance. First are our educators, those people who I always say are on the front line, ensuring that the legacy of jazz is passed on to the next generation. And the word educator both be someone who is the instrument, teaching about the form. That's going to get a lot of it, especially like we were talking about in those morning sessions where you're learning the technique and the skill. And we broaden that out a little bit. There are a few workshops that are just about improvisation. So even though it's Perez Whitted on his trumpet, he's talking, or Sherelle Cassidy on her saxophone, they're talking more broadly about improvisation. So any instrumentalist will gain something, again, to sit at the feet of that person. So all educators. And then those jazz fans, those folks that just cannot get enough, whether you're a historian, that could be an armchair historian like my father was. Well, you know, in 19, well, you know, that song really came from. Yeah. Or those people who are writing books and, you know, who are serious about it as their profession. Or, you know, just those people who love jazz, who love more. You know, I've been in this position, in this job, for 2.5 years. And a lot of people, when I got it, were like, oh, if you don't know jazz, wow, you've got to be in a certain mood to hear jazz. You got one of my friends who's a radio DJ on 1390. I interviewed with him, and he was like, yeah, I was listening to some jazz last night, and I had my scotch, and I was cooking. I had to get in the mood. I said, man, Mays is his name. You can just listen to the music. You can just let it wash over you. So I think anybody who's kind of dipping their toe in the pool of, I kind of want to know more about American history. Yep. The African-American story is going to get something out of this. So just those information junkies, I guess, you know, those information heads that just want to know more about an art form that maybe they've only heard in passing, maybe only in a Spike Lee film or in a Clint Eastwood film. Wait, let me hear a little bit more about that. So there's really, whatever track you take, and you can certainly take both of them, you're going to come out of this a more well-rounded, a better human, as I like to say, because you're learning about our favorite music, jazz.
Well, that's right. And you know, it's interesting because we all know people, and I mean, Darius can talk to this probably a million times as well, since he's a musician and he's been in a club, and he's talked to somebody who says, oh my God, I hate jazz. Are you kidding me? There's no way. I don't want to hear any. And then my whole response always, I'm like, because I know what the answer is going to be. I said, Do you like Frank Sinatra? Oh, I love Frank Sinatra. I'm like, well, I got really bad news for you. You actually like jazz. Oh my God, no, it can't happen. So there's so many different versions and so many different styles of jazz. But Heather, to your point too, it's history, and a lot of the stuff. Even if you're not a player, I find. Mm-hmm. If you're not a player and you're able to watch, like Perez talk about his instrument, or Bobby Irving talk about his instrument, or different people like that, you're going to understand it even more, even if you can't play, but you listen so much, because they're going to be talking about specific things, but they're also going to be talking about phrasing. They're going to be talking about some of their influences, some of the recordings they listen to, I'm sure, because that always comes up in that stuff. So now, Darius... You know, you're like, how long have you been doing the, because it used to be the Straight Ahead Jazz Camp, I think is what originally it was, right? And then and we're moving it over to Straight Ahead Jazz Exchange, which I love, because that opens it up to Heather's point that everybody is not thinking of it as just a camp for jazz. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we're exchanging ideas. We're exchanging information. We're getting more information on this. When did you start working on this project? Because I think when you and I talked a little offline before we came on live, you said you've been there, geez, for many years.
Yeah, 2009, for a year of Straight Ahead at Camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was at the time I was working at Columbia College in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was a collaboration between the two students. But that was my role. I was working there with the Chicago Jazz Ensemble. And most of the members of the ensemble at that time filled out most of the kind of the faculty for the camp. And John Faddis was the director of the camp or director of the jazz, Chicago Jazz Ensemble at the time. So he was heavily involved and did a lot of the main lectures.
And by the way, Chicago Jazz Ensemble was like one of the top bands in the country. So it makes a whole lot of sense for them to fill out the faculty because, I mean, give me a break. They're all the top players. So, yeah, to be able to – so you were working hand-in-hand with John Faddis then, huh?
Yes, exactly.
That had to be an experience.
That was a dream come true. You know, and just beyond that, you know, just to get to know him and get to know all the people that he's connected to all that stuff is just a good experience for me as a young musician.
Yeah.
You know, it evolved over the years. We started involving more of the Columbia faculty and involving more folks from the town, and it just kind of grew and grew. Into what it is or what it became, you know, as a camp. Until more recently, we said, "Hey, camp is a little bit confusing, because you know, camp, you know, people think they're going to come and have fun, which is kind of the idea why we called it a camp, even though it wasn't technically a camp. No one's going, and we're not spending a night there or anything. It's not like a resort or we're not a forest preserve or anything. You know, it conveyed the ethos that we want to go for. This is kind of pretty long year. That's what we were thinking of it as. You know, I guess we're still doing completely new. But we kind of move things around and we kind of reimagine things. We're hoping to still that still comes through in the virtual format. Even though it's completely new for us, it's completely new for you, but it's so different and opened up that we can do a lot of different things that we couldn't do in, you know, in person.
So talk a little bit, just to get a little background, Darius, because
yes, sir.
You and I talked when we were offline a little bit. And so you went to University of Champaign, University of Illinois in Champaign.
Yes.
What's your instrument?
Saxophone.
Saxophone. Okay. So when you were coming up and you were a young player and you were learning stuff, did you go to like summer jazz camps at all? Did you have those types of things, that those experiences?
A little bit. I went to a Jamie Ebersole camp, you know, when I was in high school. I didn't really do any of those in college, but I'm sure I'm forgetting something. I did so many different things. I did like Ravinia mentors and stuff in Chicago. It's not really a camp, but it's a you know, we have events throughout the summer. The main thing on the campus of Ravinia. And they still do that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of those students back in my time in high school.
So my experience, because I went to a Jamie Ebersole camp too, and it changed my entire life, like literally changed my entire life. I mean, I won't even go into it, but I was playing a completely different way. I just played in Carnegie Hall, all this stuff. I went to a Jamie Ebersole camp. They told me that I didn't know how to play, and they basically gave me a year's worth of material in a week to consume. And it changed the entire trajectory of what I was about to do and where I was going and everything like that. But to your point, you were at a Jamie Ebersole camp and you've been at some of these other things. And the key to these camps, and that's why I'm encouraging everyone, even if you're just a music lover, to check the virtual conference out, the Straight Ahead Jazz Exchange, because you will literally get a year's worth of information from experts in the field that you'll be able to, if you take notes, and you've got 2 weeks to take notes now, good news, you'll be able to take notes and consume this, and literally you're going to get such information, a year's worth of information in a week. It's like mind-boggling why you wouldn't do it, right? I mean, you had to have the same experience when you went to an Ebersole camp or when you went to some of those immersive camps, maybe at Ravinia or something, Darius. I mean, you must have had like eye-opening going, whoa, wait a minute, because all you're doing is consuming the same topic for an extended period of time, which just changes everything.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's you never have that density of great artists that you want to emulate or that inspired you or that you never heard of sometimes.
Right.
But like now I know them. You know, that's great. I'm going to check that person out. I want to go see what they're about and learn, you know, learn what they're doing. And that's we try to do that with Straight Ahead. Mm-hmm. It is targeted more at the adult. You know, it originally started with just kind of our featured audience was mostly music educators, but we wanted to give them an opportunity to continue to work on their own craft, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of time they can get into just teaching mode and they don't get a chance to play. That's also kind of what Jazz Institute's Noteworthy Band is about.
Right.
But from there, kind of grew into other folks, like people that just come and people who play, but maybe they're enthusiasts or sometimes they're teachers of other subjects and want to kind of jazz up their teaching ability. We kind of explored all those different avenues, so it's kind of broadened out in both directions. Woo! Yikes.
Well, I
knocked my system down.
He knocked his Skype off, but that's all right.
Yeah, there you go.
So, all right, before we wrap this up, because we have to talk a little bit, you've got like world-renowned musicians there, but you have some well-known Chicago musicians also participating. Donovan Mixon, Dana Hall, mm-hmm. Jeff Bradfield. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our hometown Grammy winner, Neil Tesser, is going to be there. And Neil is going to be giving us some incredible information. Heather, what is Neil going to be covering? Because he could cover probably the entire week. You could just have the Neil Tesser virtual camp because he's got so much information. So what's Neil going to be covering?
Oh, my God. I'm going to call Neil right after this and tell him that you recommended the Neil Tesser virtual camp. Neil is also a board member of the Jazz Institute of Chicago, and he's going to be doing a history of Chicago jazz.
Oh, nice.
And what better person? He's going to kill me. As a child, I listened to Neil Tesser with my dad on the radio as a young baby. You know, he was popular, but he's a wonderful board member and just a wealth of knowledge about not just the Chicago jazz scene, but the jazz scene in general. So he's putting together, you know, an hour long workshop, 40-minute workshop about the history of Chicago jazz. So that's just going to be fascinating. And knowing Neil, it's going to just be replete with anecdotes and story and humor, both dry and otherwise, and just wit. And you know, it's just, he's just an interesting person, a witty person to get to know anyway. So his promise is to be, you know, they'll all be fascinating, but just the Neil factor will just make it, you know, funny and just really in depth as well.
Well, the thing that Neil brings to the table, when he's talking specifically about the history of Chicago jazz, mm-hmm. is that, you know, he's one of the rare guys that actually knew everybody on the scene probably going to be talking about. I mean, unless he starts back in like, you know, 1910, I don't think Neil's that old. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to kill me, Heather. Don't worry.
Right. He's going to be at both of our doors.
but, you know, he had personal relationships with all of these musicians. So you're going to get the information, you're going to get the history, you're going to hear the timelines, you're going to hear the recordings, which you'll get from a lot of different people specifically if they're talking. But then Neil is going to take you inside and tell you those stories. And Neil has been to see these guys and hung out with them.
Right.
And has personal relationship or had personal relationships with some of the legends in the business, not just in Chicago, but throughout the world. But as both of you can speak to, but I mean, you know, as we all know, I should say, it's like Chicago's jazz scene and jazz history is like a spider web because everything can be traced. You can talk to somebody that's playing in, actually, I just had somebody on the show the other day that's a world renowned player from LA. Sure enough, he's played in Chicago. He knows 15 people from Chicago that were mm-hmm. influential to his playing and how he plays now. So our web out of Chicago is incredible, and Neil's going to be able to talk to that in depth and really be fascinating mm-hmm. and also give, I'm sure, some incredible anecdotes that nobody knew about until you see this virtual conference.
Right, and one of the things he'll talk about, too, is just exactly what you said, that Chicago's role as an incubator of improv and, you know, even fusion. But if you look back to Louis Armstrong and, you know, like you said, he'll be talking, he has met people who probably met him or played with him. So he'll be that link that really tells that story of the importance of Chicago and the role of developing what we think of as jazz and, of course, the Chicago sound.
Well, and to me, any jazz enthusiast, any jazz fan who obviously you've all been cooped up in the house. You're stuck. You've been quarantined. You can actually get an experience like this in your home and the incredible information that you're going to get. So we've got to send everybody over to jazzinchicago.org. So yeah. What are some of the levels, Heather? Why don't you talk to that? What are the levels and what are some of the price ranges so people know? Because I know I'm looking at the Performers Exchange, Enthusiast Exchange, Total Exchange. Talk a little bit about what everybody gets on each one of those.
Sure. So it's actually coming out a little bit less expensive than we had planned, you know, when it was going to be in person. We're charging folks less. And whereas you would have had to pick among some of these afternoon sessions, you know, oh, they're both going on at the same time, you'll have access to all of them. So the first track, and I am seeking my notes, and Darius, if you have this out, the first track is $125 if you just want to do that first track. If you just want to do the enthusiast track, it's $150, and we'll be charging $200 for the whole thing.
For the whole thing? I mean, so that's what a deal.
If you want to do the whole thing, you only have to pay $200. And we recognize that the social aspect of conferences is part of why you go. If you think of that lobby, you know, you get to see people in the lobby, you get to talk to people, you get to network. So at the end of camp, at the end of the exchange on the last day, we are going to set up post-event. We usually have a beautiful cocktail party where you really get to see everybody. We're going to do Zoom rooms that are going to have different topics where you can, and they'll be led by different presenters from the week. So you'll be in a room with maybe 15, no more than really 20 other people where you can really chat and ask questions and get to know people. We want to make sure everybody has everybody's email addresses. If you, you know, you want to talk to people, you want to talk to them afterwards. That's just an important part. There are some sessions that will have Q&A at the end, so you have the chance to use the chat function on Zoom to ask certain questions.
Well, and I love that idea, you, the Zoom room. Yeah. I love that.
And for your listeners tonight, right.
Yes,
we are offering a special treat, a code, so you could get a 10% discount. Also, I'm sorry, the exchange includes a free subscription to Downbeat Magazine. We thank our friends over at Downbeat, and a year-long subscription to the Jazz Institute of Chicago, which alone are worth hundreds. And so you also get this. And then, again, for your listeners tonight, you get 10% off with the code CJM10. So CJM for Chicago Jazz Magazine 10, and you'll get a 10% discount. Go to our website, jazzinchicago.org. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can always go to Facebook and find out more. We're posting every day about the different sessions. You'll get your hashtags. There are links to sign up, but you can certainly go straight to our website or to our Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram to get all this information as well.
Well, that's incredible. All right. So CJM 10, 10% off, jazzinchicago.org. We're going to blast this out. Obviously, the show's live now, but then it goes on YouTube. It goes on all of our platforms, and we blast it out. So we're going to make sure everybody knows about that. That's an incredible deal. So we thank you for allowing our listeners and our viewers to get that discount. But congratulations to the Jazz Institute and to both of you for pulling this off. And I know what an undertaking it is. I can only imagine. I can the coordination of this. But hey, the first year is always the hardest. So now you get through the first year, everybody's going to love it. Word's going to spread. And I have a feeling this is going to be a part of, even when you can do things in person, this is going to be a part of that in-person experience, because it's a great idea to be able to consume some of this stuff just at home repetitively, or just sit down on your couch and watch some of this stuff. It's going to be incredible. So I'm so happy you guys were able to pull this off for 2020, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, that there you go. And sure. Heather, before I let both of you go, what else should we tell people? Is there any announcements coming? Is there any programming coming in the fall, maybe, that's going to be virtual to make up for some of the stuff that the Jazz Institute had to you know, obviously cancel or suspend or change? Because you had so much programming coming.
We do. And we plan on keeping we had to cancel a lot of things in the summer. Obviously, the Chicago Jazz Festival, we are working right now on an incredible online experience, which is being called Millennium Park at Home. So we're trying to give you the feeling, at least, of the sound of what would have been the Chicago Jazz Festival. Jazz City took place online. So mm-hmm. please follow us and see what we're going to be doing for the fall. Unfortunately, the Latin Jazz Fest, you know, we thought Chance the Snapper might come back to Humboldt just to hear what was going on, come back to the Lagoon. But that's one that we've had. But check our Facebook page for some little treats that weekend of July 10th that'll at least keep us all connected. We've had playlists, 10 while you're in. Now that you're venturing out into the world, please see some of the playlists that staff, board members, and musicians have created. They are incredible. It's hours and hours of music.
Wow.
We created these Spotify playlists. And so we'll have more information about what else we're doing in the fall, but we're definitely using, you know, our hashtag is keep the music playing.
Yeah.
Our gala will be online in August. That's going to be kind of the kickoff to the Jazz Festival Millennium Park at Home weekend. So there'll be some real treats for that. Everyone is invited to our online gala, and then you can give as you're able and as you're willing. But that's going to be quite a concert that we're excited to have people be a part of.
Well, that's exciting. And we'll circle back and make sure we can promote all of that stuff. But, you know, hats off to the Jazz Institute again for making that right turn in the middle of a pandemic mm-hmm. and making sure something stays happening. And this music that we all love is still getting out there to the people. And, I know you will echo what I'm going to say is as long as everybody stays safe, stays healthy, keeps your mask
yes.
on and stays socially distant, we might be able to be back in a club with more than 25% capacity sometime very soon. So it's important for all of us to keep that in mind as well. So,
yes.
I mean, I'm glad the city's making those efforts to at least do something with the lost summer of music to make it virtual and to give first the musicians too, just to get them
absolutely
playing again mm-hmm. and stuff. So it's
right.
It's a wonderful thing. All right, Heather, thanks so much for being on. I appreciate it. I apologize about the Skype, but this was a great conversation.
Thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you and thank the Jazz Institute. And Darius, thank you as well. It was great to connect with you even on Skype. Hopefully I'll get to meet you sometime in person. And congratulations
yep.
to both of you on this incredible straight ahead Jazz Exchange coming up July 20th through the 24th, jazzinchicago.org. And we are going to blast out that 10% off coupon so we can get everybody signed up here early and ready to go.
Here
so thanks to both of you.
Sounds
you.
Good. Have a great night.
All right,
thank
you too.
So much.
Thanks, guys. All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, so much information there. Billy was a treat to have everybody testing out the Skype thing. We were getting it going. We thought we had it all together. And as I always preface this, I'm here by myself. I don't have a team around me. So when something goes bad and there's a bad connection or something, I can't fix things. But I'm glad Heather could jump on the phone and we could get all this information. So we're going to send everything out. Watch for the links below. We are going to make sure everyone, our readers, our viewers, so make sure you sign up for our newsletter, chicagojazz.com. Sign up for that if you're not watching that, or send us an email, send us a link, like the page, all that good stuff so that we can get the info out. But go to jazzinchicago.org right now. CJM10 gets you 10% off. Plus, the prices are so low to begin with. I mean, give me a break for all of this information. So thanks to both Darius and Heather for joining me today. Thank you for joining me. And tomorrow, special guest Jimmy Johnson on the Chicago Blues and Beyond with co-host Dave Katzman. We're going to have Jimmy Johnson, the legend. He's going to be on tomorrow. So that is going to be fun. As I always say, stay safe, stay healthy. Hopefully everybody has a wonderful evening, a wonderful afternoon tomorrow. And we will see you back here at 6 p.m. Call your neighbors, call your family, tell the grandkids, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time right here, Chicago Music Revealed. Until then, we will see you tomorrow.